Hello, everyone. It's Tanya Gabrielle, and we are celebrating the new moon today and lots more. This is Future Forecast Formula. It is January 20th here in California still, and we are starting our new year. So I'm really excited to have this call with you. I know we had a really big call yesterday on Numerology Academy. It went long, and we covered a lot of stuff. In fact, most of it was about forecasting. But today, I, of course, am dedicating the whole call to how to use your code to forecast in 2015, especially in these first few months, which are obviously right upon us. So I want to talk a little bit about the lunations coming up, and then we do have a question about the progressed moon today, so we'll focus on that as well. There are a couple, two or three questions that have come in, and if you want to line up and you're on the call and you want to do a follow-up for something you emailed or you have a question that you want to ask me in person, then please press star 2 to get into the queue. So let me start off first with the fact that we have, of course, today celebrated a brand new moon, and these lunations that we've had recently obviously have been very, very potent because of the 00 effect and the new moon code. And I'm going to first look at the new moon next month before I look at the full moon, even though the full moon comes first. And the reason is it's really the fifth of five consecutive 00 new moons that we are going to experience. And I don't know when this has ever happened in recent memory in history, because there's really nothing on it that you can find online, because it's just so rare to have this effect in the first place. It's something that I'd actually like to know at some point, because it is 5 months in a row, 00 degrees is really a restart button to the major nth degree for us. You know, it's huge. Huge. So it basically resets everything. And so the effect on you and your clients is that, yes, it may have caused turmoil, or the inner transformation may present itself in terms of results and experiences that align with the change you're making in the last few months, may present itself in the next year, meaning 2015. So it's all been set up for us to experience this incredible year to the nth degree, which is what the number 8 for 2015 is all about anyway, taking us to unlimited potential, right? The infinity symbol itself is what that means. So this 00, which literally when you put two zeros on top of each other, is the number 8. It's just absolutely not coincidence. Nothing is, as you know. And so the cosmos, the universe, the divine order of things has lined up this progression. And so the final one is next month. So I want to look at it because it happens before our next Future Forecast Formula support call. It happens literally a couple days, like 5 days before we speak. And so it's an important one to look at. And for me, this is the most intriguing one of all, especially considering what happens in the new moon right after in March. And the reason is this particular one in a lot of ephemeris is listed as 00 degrees. In my ephemeris, it says 00 Pisces. I have the New American Ephemeris for the 21st century. And so that's what most people are going by, is the fact that it is literally at 00:00, meaning there are not even any minutes. In this new moon we have today that just happened, there were 9 minutes following the 00. So even though the degree number was at the zero point, it was slightly after. Well, this next one is happening literally where the clock is like reset, like when you press reset on your phone for like the stopwatch or something, and it's all zeros. That's what this one will be. So then if you do a little bit more research, you find out, well, it's possible that one of the planets is on 2959 in Aquarius and the other is at 0000 Pisces. It's like really hard to pinpoint exactly what is going on. But the point is, it's either at the final degree of the final minute, I should say, the final minute of Aquarius, or the first literal moment of Pisces. So it's a really, really potent moment because it's about that literal, edge of the sword, right when there is literally a timelessness. Like it's not one or the other. It's just this moment, and this moment expands into eternity, and that's what this new moon really represents. And the date itself gives that same message, because the 18th of February, which is when this new moon happens, it happens actually at 11:47 p.m., so 23:47 is the time in Greenwich, England, which is universal time. So it happens on the 18th of February, universal time. So that number, that actual date, 2/18/2015, when you add it up, it's the number 19. And 19 is a 10, is a 1, right? But the 18th is a 9. 1 plus 8 is 9. So the actual day of the new moon, the 18th, is a 9. And then the date, universal date, is a 1. So we've got the 9-1 code, which is all about shifting from an ending cycle to a beginning cycle. It's the moment in between. We have that in the actual date itself and in the astrology numerology code. So when these things line up like this, and also looking at the time, 11:47 is fascinating to me because it's 11, it's the 1-1, and then 47 is also 11. 4 plus 7 is 11. When you look at this whole lineup, it's just, it couldn't be clearer that this moment right after Mercury retrograde ends, and it ends February 11th, a week later we have this new moon, this fifth of, five consecutive, ushering in then the month of March, which is really the intense March of month of 2015, when so much comes to a head that month. And we have this experience. It just, in essence, means you are coming to a point at that time, February, March, where what seemed like it was true for you before then, or whatever you were looking at, deciding on, deliberating on before then, has now reached its point of no return. You are now making a choice about whatever that thing is. You are moving forward in whatever it is in your life that's been on a cusp, not moving this direction or that direction. It is going to move, and it's either going to move on your accord, which is always the best way to do things, or it'll be moved by outside forces, which will then get you fired up to make the change, because you'll have no choice. So really it is about choice, and you won't have a choice, but to make the choice is what I'm saying. So it is quite extraordinary, this code, and so I wanted to start the call off just talking about that, so you can use that when you are actually working, with your clients, and also obviously in your own life, because whatever you do for yourself does translate in how you are able to be there for your clients, because you're actually doing the inner work that you're asking them to do, right? So it's important to obviously be aligned first on your end. So that's number one. And then the full moon coming up on the 3rd of February is also really interesting because of the code, of course. There is a fascinating code. It happens at 11:09 p.m., so again, very late in the day, universal time, and that time adds up to 11. And the actual date for February 3rd, 2015, is a 13, and that is, again, about life and death and transformation. Well, where have we heard that before? Well, Pluto represents that, right? Pluto was discovered when the atomic bomb was created, which was a literal symbol of death, and Pluto represents the death of the old and the beginning of the new. Not that the atomic bomb does. I'm just saying that relationship to what Pluto means, it was not any coincidence that the planet was discovered right when that was happening for humanity. So plutonium is used in the atomic bomb, and plutonium is related, obviously, with the end, with death, right? So Pluto is the death of the old, and then the regeneration, and then the rebirth. And the number 13 is also carries the same message. It is about life and death and rebirth. So Pluto and Uranus are coming together for the final time just weeks after in March. And so there's a major Plutonian push for us, also Uranian, of course. The whole Aquarius influence is there as well. So it's all coming together in a major way as we complete this long, years-long cycle with Pluto and Uranus. It's being also activated everywhere else in lunations, pressing the restart button, coming to terms with what it is we are now releasing, finally letting go of, so that we can move forward for the rest of 2015 and make it the incredible year that it is meant to be for us. Being accepting of the gifts of the year means releasing what's really impeding those gifts from having a place to go, from being able to be received, because there's room that you've made for those gifts, and that room is that's what we're all doing right now. We're making room. And so there will be a lot of release going on in not only world events, but of course for you personally. So this code for the full moon, it's at 14 degrees, and that is 14 is representative, of course, of 2014. It's symbolic of the year we just completed. And it is also a media number. It represents communication on all levels. It represents the internet. It represents people coming together. And it reduces to 5, which is the number that faces left at the bottom, right at the top, and sits on a pivot point and has straight lines and curved lines, and therefore means you've come to the top of the mountain and now you have to make a choice. It's 5 always represents quick decisions and choices. So that code is very potent as well. So and one thing about this full moon I love, because the last one we had in early January was just so intense, this one has a beautiful sextile, 60-degree sextile to Uranus. So there's it's wonderful, because we'll be in Aquarius anyway on the 3rd of February, of course, and Uranus rules Aquarius, and Uranus is forming this beautiful sextile to this full moon. And so Uranus, of course, is the activator in terms of looking forward to things and breaking through and saying to hell with being politically correct. I'm doing what feels right and that actually inspires me on a core level as a person who is tuned in to inspiration. That's what Uranus represents, is the genius part of you, the part of you that is unlimited and is accepting of just events that seem really out there initially, but totally transform your life, and is very revolutionary for that point, for that reason. So Uranus is forming this sextile. Uranus is at 13 degrees. Uranus is, of course, in Aries, has been for a long time, will be for a long time, and Aries is about new beginnings. It's the first sign of the zodiac. It's about the independence of who you are. So you are being set free. This is the freedom planet. And this full moon, on the 3rd of February is very much about freedom. It's a freedom code. The 14 is about freedom. The 3rd of February is about freedom. Uranus is about freedom. Aquarius is about freedom. And it's a very beautiful aspect. It's not challenging. It's not tense. It's basically saying, okay, you go now, you move forward, and you claim that freedom in yourself. So this is really wonderful in so many ways. And as you know, it happens during Mercury retrograde. So the actual manifestation of that freedom feeling may not happen until later in the month for you. It could happen around the 3rd, absolutely. It just depends on how it affects you in your chart and many other things, you know, how you're actually approaching life yourself. So, yes, this lunation code that I just unveiled for you is really critical to making the next month a very, very positive one, one that actually gets you really thrilled about where you are in general in your life. And basically, just think of it this way. You're at a gateway. The 11 is very powerful, right? There's a lot of 11 energy around the Mercury retrograde ending on the 11th, and all the 11s I already mentioned. So you're at a crossroads, and you need to choose the road you want to travel on. And so this is a moment. Mars just entered Pisces. Mars suddenly has to surrender. Mars, the action planet, has to let go of ego, has to let go of drive, has to just say, okay, I need to penetrate, not in a way I'm used to, but penetrate spirituality, penetrate fulfillment, penetrate compassion, surrender. You know, that's going on. So it's a very spiritual moment. Then Saturn moving through into Sagittarius recently is all about new beliefs, because Sagittarius is about your belief system. It rules the ninth house in astrology, so it's about your higher values, your higher beliefs, your philosophy. So Saturn's helping you to manifest that. And so this is a moment to really receive that, to be still, to not get wrapped up in the drama, to stay calm, and to shine your light, right? So this whole Pluto and Capricorn moment, too, that we're experiencing, it's the end of a lot of 20th century stuff, all the patriarchal stuff that we've been exposed to. Pluto and Capricorn squaring Uranus is basically showing us, you know, we can't operate the way we did before, and that whole experience is ending this year. So there's just so much wonderful energy around that you can use, you know, as long as you keep walking through that gateway and leave things behind and embrace a new perspective and embrace relationships, right? Always remember that this 21st century, once we entered the 2000s and left the 1900s, the ones behind, we've entered into communication and relating to each other. So, and in this 2015, it's even stronger, that code. You know, the actual way we do that is very accentuated. So always remember that when you're looking at this, that you are learning all these experiences in a major way through how you're interacting with others in your life. Okay, so that's it for now. I think I covered a lot. Anybody who wants a quick reading, let me know. And again, if you have a question for me, press star 2 and get in line. I'm going to look at your questions that came in. Let me just get to my printouts here. And let's see. I'm going to, since we're talking about the moon, I want to continue with the progressed moon, because one of the questions dealt with that. So Jen asks, I have a couple of questions for the call. I hope I can be there. Can you share some insight into the progressed moon and how it affects our lives? I believe you mentioned that it starts 3 months after birth. So, for instance, on a big event like the Saturn return or a big square, would it show up a couple of years before? You're confusing the progressed moon with the progressed sun, Jen. And you're asking, is it 1 degree every year? How does it work? And then you're asking about the progressed sun. Okay, let me get it straight so you really understand. First of all, your astrology program should show how fast the progressed moon moves, so you might want to check into that. It will show you that the progressed moon moves approximately 1 degree a month, not a year. So that's why it's a timekeeper, because it can literally move through your chart in 29 years, just like Saturn does. Transiting Saturn and the progressed moon move approximately the same rate around your chart. So astrologers have always known that when you pay attention to transiting Saturn and the progressed moon, you have a timing device where you can see your cycles, because they're both the same amount of time to go through your birth chart. So the progressed moon is very important for many other reasons, which I'll go into in a moment, but I want to also address progressed sun. You ask me, is there such a thing as a progressed sun? Of course there is. The progressed sun is the same as the arcing sun. Same thing. So what we call the progressed sun, which is 1 degree a year, is the same as the arcing sun. It always will be. So, it's very important to follow that. Now, again, that is 1 degree a year. The moon is 1 degree a month. So the moon stays in a house or sign for, definitely a sign 2.5 years. So every time the progressed moon changes signs, it's a major event. It's a major moment, right? Every time it switches houses, it's also, you will really feel it. And the reason is that the progressed moon is your emotional center. It is, it shows the emotional unfolding of who you are as it moves through each house and touches upon each planet in your chart. So it controls your emotional life, right? It really shows you what your emotional needs are. And that's why it's so important, because our emotional needs fuel pretty much everything we do. We may not realize it, but it does. So where your natal moon is in your chart is what you most require on the emotional level. So seeing where your natal moon is and seeing what the actual aspects are to it from important angles and, of course, other planets in your chart, that's a real indicator. It shows you the need that you have. For example, if you have a natal moon, trine Saturn, it means you really need security. And then you look at the houses it's in and you figure out how that security will come. Is it security within yourself, if it's the first house where the moon is? Is it security from living in a home, if it's a fourth house, right? Is it security from a partnership, seventh house? Where is that emotional security coming from? So that's a really, that's just an example of the moon and Saturn relating to each other. But that's how you do it. You look at whatever is happening in your natal chart first. Right? That's always the beginning point of any forecasting, is how is the moon aspected for me natally? Now let's look at the progressed moon, or now let's look at the arcing moon and see what's happening. And then you'll see how the relationship is panning out, because you've had that initial understanding of what your birth chart says about your natal moon. Now, I'll give you another example. There's usually a major career shift when the progressed moon goes through the 10th house. And there's usually a major partnership situation when the moon enters the 7th house of partnerships. And then often there is a big attention to health and your environment your ability to serve others in some capacity when your moon enters the 6th house, your progressed moon, right? So it has a huge influence on your life. And it also has an influence, because it's the emotional center, the progressed moon is showing where your emotional needs are, right? So it also has a big effect on the people that you draw into your life, because the people you relate with are a mirror, and you actually emotionally interact with the world. It's a dual system, the way we're set up, right? So there's always an opposite side that you're relating to that's triggering you in some way emotionally. So your relationships are the most potent, deepest interactions that you have, and the progressed moon very much shows who you're drawing towards you. If the progressed moon, for example, is in Scorpio in your chart right now, you will draw to yourself what Scorpio represents: a person with great depth, a person with amazing ability to see through you, or somebody who's very intense, or somebody who may get into a power struggle situation with you. So watch when you meet somebody important. See where the progressed moon is. Why do I mention power struggles in relation to Scorpio? Well, study the sign. It's ruled by Pluto. Pluto is about power. So that could mean power struggles or empowerment. It's either one. So you can get a lot of messages, as you can see, by just taking the progressed moon in your chart right now and seeing how it's affecting all of your life. The final thing I'll say about the progressed moon is you'll want to, it really shows instinctively how you're going to operate during that the sign that it's in. For example, if it's going through a sign like Taurus or Libra, instinctually you'll want to dress more beautifully, or you appreciate the arts more because emotionally it's just sustaining you in a very important way. And Venus rules those two signs, right? Libra and Taurus. And Venus is about the arts and music and beauty and wealth and all that. So instinctively, when the moon goes through those particular signs for you personally as a progression, you will actually, your habits will shift to focus more on those actual qualities. So look both at the sign and at the house, because it's not only the sign that the progressed moon is in, but the natal house that it's passing through. They will influence each other in other sense. There's always a synthesis in astrology that you need to blend a lot of different factors, and that blend results in the full recipe. And even that full recipe, you add ingredients to as you make more discoveries. So you need to blend all of these different parameters, right? So that's one thing. What else can I tell you? I mean, the basic general effects of each progressed moon depends on, you know, where it is for you. You can also, by the way, here's another clue. You want to look at whether the sign it's in is a fire sign, an air sign, an earth sign, or water sign. If your progressed moon is currently in Pisces, that's a water sign, or Cancer, or Scorpio, you're actually psychically activated in a big way, right? So water signs are very psychic, so that would mean psychic development. If the progressed moon is in an air sign, your intellect and your curiosity and your willingness to learn are really heightened, right? So seeking knowledge or connecting with friends or communicating, I mean, those are strong priorities in an air sign. Because remember, electricity travels through air. That's about communication and media and all that. So, and then also, I mean, I'm giving you a lot here. If the progressed moon transits an actual angled house, meaning the first, fourth, seventh, or tenth house. I already mentioned the tenth house for career. But any time it crosses an angle, it's moving into another quadrant into your chart. There are four quadrants, right? So an angle, when it crosses that, the first, fourth, seventh, or tenth house angle, it's moving into another quadrant. And so that changes your whole experience and conditions around you. You will really feel that moment as well. So this is just one of many ways, paying attention to when the moon changes signs, progressed moon changes signs, paying attention to when the progressed moon changes houses, paying attention to when it actually moves over an angle, of course paying attention to when it touches one of your planets, your natal planets, and also paying attention to when it's at 28 or 29 degrees, because those are the critical degrees. And if your progressed moon is touching on one of those 2 degrees, it's even more potent, and it's about to enter a new sign. So you're letting go. You're doing whatever you need to do, finishing up what you are meant to be doing in that particular sign. So, and it's a great time of release. I mean, those critical degrees are very important to pay attention to. So that's a very long answer to your question, Jen, about the progressed moon. Progressed sun is a whole different topic. Like I said, it's the same as the arcing sun. So you want to pay attention to that. It is 1 degree a year. So it takes 360 years to go around your chart. So we only experience it really for our prime years of our life. There's only really usually a couple houses, a couple finds that we experience, maybe three if we live, a long, long time. And then you have one more question, Jen, which I'll get to. And if you're on and you want to speak, just press star 2. Okay, you say you'd love to get insight into your future forecast on your career and corresponding deepening spiritual journey. What effect does that have on your love life? Or should I just forget love and focus on career? I'm working on opening my heart more, so any clues would be so helpful. Any numbers or aspects I should meditate on more fully or embrace? Let me think about how I would focus on this. I think I gave you a reading yesterday. So what I would prefer is to go to a couple other callers who are queuing up and do readings for them. And if there is time, I will get back to you. How's that? You also say, thank you so much. I love the tools on the new membership site. I love having everything together in one place. Is the future forecast formula going to be on the new site? This is such a gift. You know what, Jen? It is. My webmaster is working diligently to get everything lined up. So there's so much going on where that's concerned that, you know, there's a little bit of a wait time for future forecast formula, but it is in the funnel. It is going to happen. I can't guarantee when, but my hope is that it's by the end of February or sometime in March. It is definitely, you know, slated to happen very, very soon. Okay, so you don't have to wait for a lot of months for future forecast formula to be there. But I know it's still missing, and it takes him time to get it all done, so it is so beautifully laid out and is so accessible. The back-end work for coding for all of that is very time-consuming, and so we just have to be a little patient for that program. And also, just so you know, once that program is in, once we've got that one up, that's the final piece of the puzzle for all the current programs I'm offering. That's when I move ahead with new programs for Numerology Academy, because I'm slated, ready to go, and we just want to get the membership site set up for all of you in terms of the actual working programs you have now. Once that's done, we're going to move into some fabulous new material. So you also say, did I mention how much I love numerology and how grateful I am that I signed up for this? Aw, you are a brilliant teacher, Tanya. Thank you again. Aw, very sweet, Jen. Thank you. That is very nice. I appreciate that. Like I said, let me see about your question. Let me move on to the next email question and then to the callers who are lining up, and then we'll see if we can get back to you. Annette from New Zealand, let's see, maybe you're even on, I'm not sure. If you're there, Annette, can you unmute yourself? I mean, not unmute yourself. Can you please queue up by pressing star 2 if you can? So you say, can I get some help with this chart I'm working on? March 30th, 1959 at 9 a.m. in Auckland, New Zealand. Okay. And you say her numbers are 393, personal year 13-4. And she's born at 9 a.m. Okay. Let me pull up this lady's or person. You're saying her, right? Yeah, her numbers. This lady's chart and have a look. And let me see what questions you have. So, again, everybody who wants to join us here, this is March 30th, 1959 at 9 a.m. in Auckland, New Zealand. So you're saying, I'm looking at her progressed moon at 3 degrees in Capricorn, which is soon to conjunct her natal Saturn at 6 degrees in Capricorn. Oh, this is a fun question because we just talked about the progressed moon. So I like this. This is really good. I didn't even see the correlation. So let me go into her chart. Hold on for one sec as I pull up this anonymous person's progressions. Hold on, and then I'll get the chart up. Where are you? There you are. Okay. So we are almost ready. There we go. All right. Let's see. You're right. The progressive moon's at 3 degrees in the eighth house. And Saturn, natal Saturn's at 6 degrees. This is all in Capricorn. And your question is, this looks to be important as it would activate a large triangle and kite. Can I have your thoughts, please? A lot of geometric shapes in this chart. Okay, let's have a look. Let's see. So Saturn would be part of what you are referring to as a triangle. Let me get her natal chart up one more time and have a look at that too, separate. Okay. Yeah, she has a really gorgeous, gorgeous geometric chart, I have to say. This is very beautiful just to look at. And the interesting thing is that her natal moon is in the eighth house. The eighth house is a house that I want to do a course on, a separate course, because it is so powerful, misunderstood. People are afraid of it because it's all the taboo subjects, but it is so important. So the first thing you have to understand when interpreting the progressed moon, like I said when I was talking earlier in relation to Jen's question about the progressive moon, the first thing you have to do is understand, well, what does it mean to have the actual moon, natal moon, in that house? You need to understand the natal chart, the birth chart first. Otherwise, the interpretation is going to be not as clear. Okay, so moon in the eighth house makes her incredibly emotional, and she has it at 17 degrees. So that's a very strong number of strength and leadership. So she actually gains a lot of strength from drawing on the mysterious, from drawing on the unknown, even fantasy stuff. So it makes her very intense, makes her secretive. Her emotional nature is can even be extreme at times. She's fascinated by taboo subjects, or what we don't think they're taboo, but most people do, so I'm calling them that. So that would be spiritual, psychic, even ghosts, UFOs, stuff like that, you know, ET. She's fascinated by all of that, and she's naturally intuitive. So her emotional nature is very complex. This is the house ruled, you know, the 8th house is naturally ruled by Scorpio, okay? So that's why it is complex. And so there's a sense about her sometimes that she feels like a loner. She feels a little out of it, because the moon in this house means that she can identify with things that people around her don't quite understand or just aren't as interested in as she is, including healing. So, and her energy will draw people to her, too, that need healing because of this. This moon in eighth house is a very strong emotional factor for drawing in people who want to be healed on that level. So she absorbs everything in her environment, and she has to be very careful about any negative environmental factors, including people, but just lower level energies will really affect her more than others, because her energy vibrates at a very high level, and so she needs to learn protection, energetic protection. And she just feels things deeply. So she, when she feels pain, it's very, very deep. Okay, so she, very emotional nature. Relationship with mom is incredibly strong. Relationship with mom shows her about trust issues. Spiritual gifts come from mom's side of the family, because the moon represents mother. It could be maternal grandmother, maternal grandfather. It doesn't matter, but there's gifts there from females on that side. So that's knowing this, as you can see, is important to then interpreting the progressed moon. So, looking then at the fact that, you know, the progressed moon has been in this house, and now is about to conjunct Saturn, which is the other planet she has in that house, is obviously a major factor. And Saturn, of course, will help her, cement and manifest whatever she's been working on for the last 2 years or so, 2.5 years. It's a big house for her, so it's probably been 2.5 years since this actually, since the progressed moon entered it. So Saturn always will make you realize whatever it is, manifest what it is. So that's 3 months away for her. So she's now in the process of taking everything she learned emotionally and turning it into something very profound that's lasting. And she knows about the lasting. She knows about that because it's her natal moon's at 17, remember. That is the immortality number. So Saturn, when the Saturn and moon come together in any capacity, there is a strong sense of inner calm that can be achieved because the moon is stabilized, it's one of the keywords for Saturn, stabilized by Saturn's influence. There's more self-control. There's not as much up and down moodiness. There's more the ability to really delve deeply into a subject without getting lost in the emotional side of it. There's a real sense of duty and responsibility. There's great success through a diligent approach. Like I said, step-by-step manifestation is the key to Saturn. There is really a great connection to older or wiser women. So that could be you, right? You are mentoring her by giving her this reading. So you, I'm assuming, are that wiser woman. You don't necessarily have to be older. It also Saturn also represents wisdom. So, if there is, because of her sacred geometry of there with the kite, it's pointing to Saturn in a beautiful way too. So there is a sense of a culmination of something. So if she actually feels less energy, if she feels that she has to go through some kind of health issue, it's basically processing everything that's happened in this eighth house and allowing her to release it. Okay, like I said, the health issue can come up in this instance. I'm just looking at what you said about it. Her personality is 13-4, so that's a very big transformation in your life, death, rebirth. So, yeah, this whole eighth house is life, death, rebirth. It's Scorpio, so she has sort of a double whammy personal year happening with the actual meaning of the house that this is happening in, plus the moon and Saturn coming together can also indicate that, actually, because of the deep emotional nature. And Saturn is considered a planet of Kronos, of time. So the time ticking, the things coming to an end, all of that. So, yes, it's a really big moment for her. And, of course, progressed moon, as I said earlier, is a timekeeper, is an indication of your emotional disposition, your needs. And so her need for stability and security regarding her deepest emotional issues, sexuality, money, anything to do with just how she feels about her life, because this house does rule everything related to moving on to another realm. So it represents death as well. That's what Scorpio is about. So all of those things she's grappling with and processing right now. Okay, so hopefully that helped you in terms of her reading. You say you'll be on the call, so let me see if you are on the call. I'm actually going to check right now and see if you are here. Let me unmute this person. Hello, this is Tanya.
Hello.
Hi, is this Annette?
Yes, it is. Yes.
Oh my God, I'm so happy that you're here.
I'm organized today. I'm organized.
Okay, awesome. So you obviously heard what I said. So
yes, yeah.
You're here.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. So do you have any follow-up question for me?
No, but, well, I would ask then, so if this is happening and it's coming over Saturn, does that have an effect then on that triangle, then that goes to Venus, let me see, Pluto. So that would all tie in together, wouldn't it?
Yes, that beautiful triangle is it's just one of many things in her chart.
Oh,
but
it's amazing. It's amazing.
Yeah, her chart's very beautiful. I love looking at it. Yes, that triangle is absolutely critical. As you know, Venus is on her ascendant. So that, and it rules her ascendant. I mean, talk about a magnification of Venus. I mean, that is huge.
Yes.
And it's so funny because I think earlier on this call, I mentioned, if there is a relationship to Saturn from the moon, right? I even talked about this as an example. And here we have the moon and Saturn coming together in your client's chart, which I didn't realize when I was talking about that. And it really does indicate what I was talking about before, which is a connection with females. So her connection to you, what I'm getting at, is very important.
Yes.
Very important. I don't know what you mean to her, but you're going to mean something pretty profound.
Oh, okay. Well, we're both in the clothing trade. And she obviously is working with beautiful garments as well. So, and her mother works with her. So her mother is amazing as well.
Wonderful. Well, there you go. That explains a deeper connection because she's connecting to you not only as a client, but somebody who she can relate to in terms of her vocation. You know, that is a major plus in your relationship, because she'll naturally trust you more. You'll speak her language. You'll use keywords she understands. So that's a big, big plus. So my sense is, what I'm trying to say to you is, I think this relationship will deepen, meaning she will turn to you more.
Oh, cool.
Because you're establishing this contact right when this Venus and Moon contact is actually activating for her personally. So there's something about you that she feels comfortable with in terms of talking about all these taboo subjects in her life. Like she'll feel happy to talk to you and comfortable. So it means that, and it also means her own femininity, her own relationship to her own femininity, her own creativity and beauty. I mean, in the textile trade, of course, you're talking about beautiful material, beautiful designs and texture, and all of that will be very much enhanced for her. So that's important as well.
Okay.
I want to also tell you, Wilbert, I know you want to ask me something. I just want to briefly, before I forget, say that the Saturn contact in anybody's chart, whenever it happens, transits, solar arcs, or progressions like we're discussing with your client, a Saturn contact always, always stimulates career, because Saturn naturally rules the 10th house, right? Because that Capricorn is the natural ruler of that house. In a universal chart, Capricorn rules that house. So Saturn is connected to Capricorn, of course. So whenever Saturn is touched in any way, your career will feel it. See, so that's another thing to keep in mind. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. That's great. That would be the main thing I'd think I'd focus on at the moment for her. I mean, that's plenty, isn't it? Just to focus. I've actually worked through her numbers as well, so I've done that for her.
Yes, her numbers are so creative, and having Venus, she's all in the creativity triad, of course. And then she has Venus on her ascendant. I mean, this girl's really an artist.
Isn't it amazing?
No,
oh, she's she's pretty clever. It's great. Her work's quite different to mine, but quite interesting. And we're born the same year, so we have quite a connection, and all her numbers are in the that self-expressive triad as well. So
yes,
so
right.
We have quite a lot
too.
Of connection.
Yes. I just get the sense she's very comfortable with you, and that this is a very, really good relationship for her in terms of
that's lovely.
You mentoring her. Yeah, so see it that way too. This is by the way, that we have going for us in our work, in relation, when you look at the business side, which is a whole other tangent here, but when you see a connection between you and your client, it's an instant connection anyway, but when you visibly see the code, like you are with her, and you even are in the same, trade, there is room for you you allowing that relationship to go deeper with whatever your offerings are for that person.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
Because they're
yes.
going to be open to it because they like you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah.
They feel good.
That's good. Yeah, I've got a group actually like that. I have a group of females that I could do more with, work with. So.
Yeah, so think of it that way too. And I'm not. It's really helpful to just acknowledge those energetic connections.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking at all in terms of manipulation. I'm talking in terms of recognition. Yeah. You know,
yeah.
And knowing that you have something very powerful and helpful to offer them. And if they're willing, if they're open and they feel the same way, they will actually ask for more anyway. So you want to just be prepared, you know,
okay.
in that regard.
Yeah, no, that's okay. And I'm quite detached about things, so I don't get, I enjoy my own space. So it works well. Yeah, no, that's cool. Great.
Yeah.
Oh, well. I shall work on that.
Yes, and remember, we just had this new moon in Aquarius just hours ago. That will affect her as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, because right at the top of her chart.
Yep, exactly. It's right. So her 10th house. So all of those things, you always have to keep in mind the lunation cycles, too, when you do these consultations. And find them in your client's charts. Find the new moon and full moon from the previous month and the next month. And even if you know, I always, for example, when I cast a chart, the first thing I look for is where has Pluto and Uranus taken place for them in the last 4 years? And it's the first thing I look for in their transits.
Okay.
And I mark that up first because I know that's their major shift right there. So,
all right.
You
okay.
see, and then I go into the lunations and then I do everything else. But and they then add to the storyline, of course. But you want to do this. Still now, because it's still going on and it's culminating in March. And the other thing you all want to do is start looking now at Neptune-Saturn. Where's that square happening for them? And really see where it is, because it's a very deep, deep moment for all of us to look at that square between Neptune in early degrees of Pisces and Saturn in early degrees of Sagittarius. It's the next big one for us to recognize as it won't last quite as long, but it's major. So those are things you want to mark up first, like just make it a habit, you know?
Great. Yeah. We're ready for a change, aren't we?
Yes, that's right. I sure agree with that one, with the Pluto-Uranus ending is pretty exciting. And, you know, I'm born in the 60s, so for people born in the 60s when they were conjunct, this is even more craziness. You're born the end of the 50s, so in your chart, I don't know how close they were. They weren't exactly quite conjunct yet. Yeah, for us 60s people, it's been quite a ride, let me tell you. So, I'm looking forward to that one dissipating.
Oh, well, look how much you've covered, all the ground you've covered. Lots
yes, thank you for reminding me.
Well, you know, the positives are that you've
of course.
Moved mountain.
I absolutely will always agree and bow to the positive, yes. I'm just claiming also the fact that it was a major transformation for me. So, you know, and it's good. It strengthens you in ways that allows you to be there for your clients, you know? I mean, it all feeds each other.
That. I understand that, yes. And you can't take that away. It's like all those experiences you have, they're part of who you are, so you don't even have to be taught them. It's amazing.
Isn't that a good way of looking at it?
Well,
yeah.
The only way to look
at it. I love that.
Well, it's easier to look at it when you've been through it, I have to admit. But it's like, you know, even for a lot of us, it's really exciting now because we know we've got through so much.
Mm-hmm.
It can only get better.
Yeah.
I just think
and it is. This year is one of those years where we will reap the benefits of all that school of hard knocks learning that we've been through. So.
Yeah.
Yes, I love that you said that. We don't have to actually go and learn it a different way because it's a visceral, you know, change that had to happen naturally for us. Yeah, that's great. So
yeah, anyway, good. Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome, Annette.
Okay. Okay.
Yes, absolutely. Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay, good. So then we have another caller here. Let me see who this is. This is air code 214. Hello?
Hello.
You are... Hi, who's this?
It's Andrea.
Hi, how are you? I didn't know. Why does it say Dallas? I thought you lived somewhere
else. I don't know, because I use Google Talk to call in, and so I thought it would say anonymous, so I was a bit surprised when you said an area code number.
It's really weird. I don't understand
yeah.
it, but that's why I never try to guess who it is, because of Google Talk and Skype. And for example, our previous caller from New Zealand, it says Bakersfield, California. Okay, so I'm like, no, that's not New Zealand.
Yeah.
Okay. So there's something weird going on with Google and Skype, and so I'm never guessing anymore who it is anymore.
Yeah, there's no point to even go there anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Okay. So what's your question? By the way, where are you?
I'm in Toronto. More.
Okay, good. There we go. Canada.
Yeah.
All right. Not big,
Dallas.
Not Dallas. Okay, good.
Yeah.
All right. So what's your question?
Okay. So I was wondering, when you cast a chart for transit or progressions or solar arcs, what location do you use for those charts?
Very good question. I use their birth location, because all I do is I go into my – I mean, you can use their where they live now. It's not going to make a
okay.
huge difference, I can tell you that much.
Okay.
In fact, it hardly makes any, because progressions move so slowly. But what I do is I just click on secondary progression on their natal chart, and it just changes it to right now or wherever I want to go. And then I put the date that I want to progress to, which usually is right now, or it's in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they're asking about a past event, I put that in. But I have their birth city and birth country, yeah. So
okay.
that's what I do. It doesn't make a big difference to move it to somebody's in L.A. or New York or, you know, London or Sydney or whatever. So, and you can try it. You can actually experiment with that and see
okay.
what it does.
And is it the same with transits?
With transits, occasionally I actually go to – because transits can actually change. They move much faster, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual location on Earth does actually make a difference. So if
okay.
I know that that person was born in Australia but is currently living in Seattle, I will look at transits for Seattle for them, just in case we're talking about a very specific moment where I want to look where the moon is, because the moon, it just changes slightly, you know, depending on where they are at that time. So yeah, it's a very good question. It's not absolutely critical unless you're really looking at timing in a very minute level, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I mean, some people do actually live very, very far away from where they were born, and in terms of the transits, yes, that can make a slight difference. So
okay, good. Yeah,
yeah,
now I have some clarity about that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So. Anything else you want me to check?
Because we were talking about the progressed moon. So I was looking at my chart, and so my progressed moon is conjuncting with Neptune in my fifth house. And the moon is at 24 degrees in Sagittarius, and Neptune in 26 degrees. Also in Sagittarius, of course. So I was wondering if you could give me an interpretation for that.
Okay, let me pull up your chart because it's hard
okay.
to do. I really need the visual, like abstract, okay, numbers and stuff. I can sort of see it, but I need to see the whole thing. So, okay, progressed moon. Let me see. That's not the right. Okay, let's see. How are we doing this? It's today, now. Let's make that correct. So today now is January 20th, of course, and you're born May 5th, right? Is this correct?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. All right, so your question was, I see, 24 degrees and it's about, you're talking about a conjunction with Neptune?
Neptune.
Ask me your question again, sorry. Is that what you're asking about?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Your interpretation of that.
Of that, okay. Moon to Neptune, oh, I love that. I'm so into Moon Neptune because it's so delicate. It's so mystical. I mean, the moon is the mother, you know, the womb, and the womb is the watery experience where the child is nurtured. So Moon and Neptune, they like each other. They're both, if you look at Pisces and Cancer, they're water signs. So you look at that, the moon rules Cancer, and Cancer is the sign of the mother, you know. If you meet any Cancer, they're very attached to mom. Mm-hmm. So it is the mother womb sign, and when a baby's in the tummy, it's in water. So this is a very mellifluous, watery, delicate, mystical conjunction. I love it. Obviously, the flip side is delusion, illusion, self-delusion, instability, right? Even sleeplessness, because your dreams are so active. You know, you really are channeling a lot of multidimensional energy with this conjunction. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely stunningly gorgeous, though. And I want to see where your Cancer, Scorpio. Okay, Scorpio rules your fourth house. Pisces rules your 8th house, and Cancer rules your 12th house. Well, isn't that interesting? Those are the houses that naturally are water sign houses. You just have them at different placements. The 8th house is naturally ruled by Scorpio. The 12th house is naturally ruled by... Right?
Mm-hmm.
Get it?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So yeah. You have those three water signs on the natural water sign placements. And then you have the two water planets, the other one, of course, is Pluto, which is, by the way, as you know, coming to a major conclusion now with Uranus. So this is important to recognize. So you might want to check what Pluto's doing, transiting Pluto in your chart. But anyway, that whole watery element is making you feel very connected on that multidimensional level, which, by the way, is natural for all of us right now. Anyway, I mentioned that on one of my videos, you know, that the portal has opened to other dimensions now. And you must be feeling it. I can't imagine you're not.
Yeah, you know? Definitely. I've just been sleeping in a lot, though.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. You know, because my dreams are so vivid, and it seems that, like, you know, because early in the night, I don't get to the point where I start dreaming. So it's more, you know, towards morning where I'm having dreams. So I just find myself sleeping in a lot more and then starting my work day later, but also working later into the evening as well.
Yeah. Well, look, the moon does represent night. So you can see it that way. It's nighttime. You know?
Yeah.
So it's like that's when we see the moon, is when it's dark. So when you have a moon emphasis, you absolutely will have an urge to stay up later. I mean, that's pretty, makes total sense. And also Neptune ruling dreams, that's what you do at night, is you dream. Mm-hmm. So you have a double night situation here. The one reason it's so active for you is it's in the fifth house, and that's very much the creative, playful playground. So you're playing with these energies too. So you want to sleep longer because it really feels good too. This is a feel-good house, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's a fun house. It's naturally ruled by Leo. You've got, of course, Sagittarius there, which is, you know, all of your houses correspond to the same fire. Like, that's fire, and you don't have Leo there, but you've got another fire sign. So it emphasizes the playfulness even more and the fun.
Mm-hmm.
So for you, it's actually, it feels good to stay in bed longer right now. You should. And just enjoy it. And enjoy the fact that you actually can do it. You know, most people don't have that luck. So
that's true. But I also feel kind of guilty,
like,
about it.
Yeah, it's like, hey, I'm a lucky girl. I can actually sleep in if I want to. And I should be. And isn't this important too to see that you can naturally align because of your lifestyle, you can naturally align to these events in your life that are happening. You know, which is
definitely
really, really cool. You know, once you're at your 18 year or two, you'll want to sleep more. I just want to let you know I'm looking at your birthday, 5/5. So you're going to enter that 18 year on your birthday. And that will also be a time for you to do more sleeping. Just because the virtue of the actual effect of number 18 in a cycle is that you'll have more vivid dreams and want to sleep more. So even after this particular event passes, which is in the next, 3 months or so, your birthday will be coming up pretty soon after that. In fact, I think it is pretty much in like 3.5 months. So you'll still continue that in a slightly different way, but it won't be quite as potent, but it still will be something to keep track of. So just wanted to throw that out there since it ties in to this sleeping topic. I'm sorry, I'm just looking at your chart. I'm seeing, too, that we talked earlier about when the arcing or progressed sun or the moon changed signs. It's a big deal. Your progressed moon changed houses recently, a few months ago, but your progressed sun is going to, in the next year, move into a new house. So pay attention to that. That's a big deal. It's been about, 36 years in your 10th house, which is, you're so young most of your life. So all of your life, it seems, right? Yeah, all of your life. It's been only in that house. So this is a major shift for you.
Okay.
It's going to be a big deal, and you'll really feel it, and you should be feeling it even now. You're going to travel more. You're going to join groups. You'll feel the urge to do that even now because it's very close to changing. It's in the final degree, right?
In the last year, I've been joining more groups.
Yeah, I mean, you're in Numerology Academy. You recently joined that. That's a group you're part of. So you'll just feel the urge to be part of a community and to really look forward in a way that excites you. Through that community experience, through that group experience, it enhances your life in a way that you really feel excited and happy about the future, and your place in it. So that's a really nice placement for the sun. And you're going to have it for a long time. It's another big house for you. So we're talking 34 years that the sun will be in that house. So that's like the prime of your life. Your son will be in the left house. Very nice. So that's something I just saw. Yeah, the last thing I'll say to you is look how your progressed moon is currently forming a sextile to your natal moon. That's really important. Your natal moon is... Oh, sorry, I'm looking at Pluto. Look how it's forming a sextile to Pluto. I'm sorry, that's what I meant. Pluto is conjunct your natal moon, so that is a big deal. So it is affecting your natal moon as well. But Pluto is the last water planet that I mentioned before that represents the final of the three water signs. And since they're all coming together in this way for you right now, this actual sextile, especially since Uranus Pluto are about to end their, their dance, their square dance, this is big deal for you. There's like an epoch ending for you. And it's bringing a tremendous spiritual awakening because it's all water. And so have fun with that.
And then I'm going to be going into a 9 personal year, which is about completion and endings. So, it's all
What's
very
your code?
Life path is 3. Destiny is 5. Day is 5 as well.
Okay. So that's 3 life purpose number. What 3 is it? Is it 12? Is it 21? Is it
30?
It's 30. Okay.
Yeah.
That one is really going to be triggered. And because we're in this incredible 2015 year, you will be expressing yourself through not only the videos you create, but just in general, I want you to appear in videos if you can. either, I mean, you're speaking now. Can you appear or is that not possible? Do you have an inhibition about that?
Yeah, I do have a shyness about that, and I am planning to do that this year.
Okay, good.
And part of me is just, I think I feel that I need to buy better video equipment as well for that, because I tried using my iPad for it, but I found it very distracting with the way that the camera is set up. So I do need to get going on that.
Okay. Well, if you were my VIP client or in the Wealth Generation Mentoring Program, this is what I'd tell you is because of that activation in this year of 8, 2015, it's you're getting empowered through self-expression. And for you being a 30, your greatest fear is to be on video or to speak in front of an audience. That's your greatest fear, but it's where you'll feel most liberated. So you started the video creation process, and it's fabulous because it's the first real big step towards you actually appearing. Now, if you don't want to appear, I mean, you can create PowerPoint stuff too, you know, like you're doing now. The thing about appearing when you are a three, which you are, is it really viscerally impacts you, your prospects, and your business, because you're actually meant to be seen in some way. The only other way I would translate this for you, if you, you know, I know you're planning to do it, but you can also write more, like have a blog, have something to, you really want to express yourself, put yourself out there emotionally, because it's going to help you. So in a 9 year, in 2015, with your code being activated, your purpose, and your moon also, see, because the moon and Neptune thing is very much about feeling, which is the number three, and creativity, which is your fifth house, where this is all happening. All of that is interrelated. And remember, Pluto's in your third house of communication. Your natal moon, most of your big planets are, I mean, you've got four planets in that third house of communication. We talked about that. So your natal moon is there. So, yeah, it's really, and you know, it's ruled by Libra, Venus. There's something very beautiful about your presence that you may not even realize that is going to translate on video and through your work. I think that's why you're attracted to beauty and fashion and all that. You really like that. You know, it's what you're meant to communicate to others, is the beautiful nature of life, you know, the interconnectedness, the depth, the joy. I'm talking about Pluto. I'm doing all the keywords of the planets in the third house right now. You see what I'm doing? So it's like that's you, and that's being triggered now by this progression, this beautiful progressed moon. So, because it's forming that sextile to that house, and it's in the playful house itself. So, yeah, there's some really cool stuff, and it makes the path towards getting over your inhibitions that all 30s have. It makes that path, it clears it out, because it's just easier now. So,
well, a camera is on my shopping list. I just have to do it.
They're so much cheaper now, you know, they really are. They used to be, prices used to be somewhat prohibitive, but the camera I have, I've had for over 2 years, and make sure you get one that has a mic input, so you can put in like a 20-foot, you know, mic that can attach under your clothes and clip on.
So okay.
Purchase that. You definitely always, as a videographer, if you're shooting your own videos, want to get that mic input. Don't buy a video camera where you can't plug in a mic. So because those, the wireless mics are very bulky. I don't recommend those. They're hard. They're not as easy for, especially females, you know, in terms of clothing. And
yeah,
it's just better to have the wired mic that goes underneath in the back, and you pull it up and then you clip it on, and then you can get the 20-foot length one. They're not expensive at all. So, but you have to have an actual video where it has that input, you know, for that. And not all of them have that, so make sure you do that. So.
Thank you for that. That's such a good tip.
Yeah. You're welcome.
Thank you. Okay,
good.
So I'll talk to you next month.
Okay, Andrea, all my best. Okay,
bye-bye.
Bye. You're welcome. Okay, so I have, let's see, a couple more minutes here. I want to look back at Jen's question, since we do have a little extra time. And so, you know, there's a lot we covered yesterday, too, so I really want to make sure that all of you on Future Forecast Formula listen to the call that we did yesterday as well for Numerology Academy. There really was a lot covered in that. And so, and most of it was actually related to what's going on right now. So, as it seems to be lately on all these calls. So, Jen, you want to get insight here on your career and the spiritual journey you're having. So I'm just going to pull up your chart and see what's going on for you here. And because, like I said, this is a time for all of us to just make commitments. It's you want to make sure that shift is happening coming from you. It's not happening coming from the world telling you, okay, you didn't make the shift, so now we're going to, you know, help you along here. You don't want that to happen. It's just, I mean, sometimes it does just because. But for those of us who are awakened enough to understand, you know, how important it is to instigate these shifts on our own accord, it really makes a big difference. So, okay, I've got you up. And Jen, I'm talking about Jen now, and I want to look at your question. So let me get up your progressions because we did talk about that before. So your progressed moon just recently entered in the second house. And that's a big deal because it rules your finances. Your second house is ruled by Taurus, which rules finances. So you've got a really nice slice of life coming up, 2.5 years of the progressed moon in this house of values and finances and money. So that really does affect, you know, your career in that way. And to me, why am I mentioning this when you're asking about your career and the corresponding deepening spiritual journey? Well, the reason I am is because your spiritual journey is connected to the ability to exchange money for your spiritual services. If you are not able to do that, you haven't stepped fully into your spiritual journey. Because as a mentor, as a coach, you actually thrive on helping others, supporting others, and that means you ask for something in return for your actual coaching, right? For your spiritual support. So the moon in this house for you is really a key. It's a key ingredient for you to say emotionally, this is what I'm investing in. I'm investing in my website. I'm investing in how to reach people. I'm investing in how to market what I do, how to use Facebook, communicating my message on that level in an emotional way. I'm taking cues intuitively about, you know, what products to release, how to create that interchange between me and my prospects, so that they do actually purchase from me. So those are things you want to really focus on, and your spiritual life, as a result, will be greatly enhanced because you will feel fulfilled because money is part of living on Earth. We purchase our lifestyle, our ability to feel comfortable through the exchange of money. And so it's a beautiful energy. It's one that we all have to learn from because it means so much more than we think it does. And so for you, Jen, that is the big journey you're taking right now. It really relates to everything for you. As for your love life, which you also ask about, you do have, let's see here, the ruler of your seventh house is Venus. And Venus is about to enter your third house. So Libra rules your seventh house. Venus, the ruler of Libra. I'm looking at progressions now, okay? I'm looking at a progress chart. Venus is about to enter in about a year or so your next house. So it is right now in the second house. And so that's, let's look at that because it's at 24 degrees. I want to really be clear on this. Your values regarding relationship are just so important. What do you value in your significant other and your partner? How have you addressed those values within yourself? Is what you value in somebody else something that you actually are working on in your own life? These are all second house issues that you are meant to be addressing in order to actually set in place an attractor method for your significant other. So Venus is your big clue here. You're also a Taurus, as you obviously know. So Venus plays an even bigger role for you. And might I remind you, Jen, that your second house is ruled by Taurus. So your second house and your seventh house are extremely important, right? Progressed moon just entered second house. So look at all the Taurian things, look at all the Libra things, and you'll get your very clear message here about everything, you know, regarding the questions that you're asking me. And I'd like you to actually participate very deeply. I know it's harder to read yourself. I certainly find that for me. But there is a way to distance yourself enough and have the bird's eye view for you to just take your chart out, not even think of it as you. Think of it as a client. Look at it from that perspective, you know, and just glance at it, look at it like bird's eye view, okay, this, take notes, and then you'll start getting the storyline, and then, of course, later on, you'll weave it together for you personally by making all those actual tangents and understanding how the storyline progresses because you know yourself best. But initially, I really want you to start doing that for yourself. Everybody do that. It's really powerful when you can look at your chart as if it was a client's chart first and take it in that way. Okay, so I think I got to everybody here. We have now completed our first future forecast formula call of the year. Yay! And our next one will, I believe, is on the 24th of February. So that's in 5 weeks. Lots going on between now and then. And then we have a crazy, big, important month of March. So I can't wait to tell you all about that on our next call. And meantime, just have a brilliant, brilliant month. We will be connecting, like I said, in February, and have a great Valentine's Day, too. Lots of love. We will talk in a month. Bye-bye for now.